My friends in Christ, it might seem a bit strange on a warm day at the beginning of summer to be greeted with stories about storms, rather fierce storms, in fact, but that's what the scriptures have given us this morning. In the first reading, God speaks to Job out of a great storm. Job, whose very name is a synonym for suffering, whose whole life had become a storm of suffering, unexplainable, unrelieved, and undeserved suffering. The passage we heard is quite truncated, to say the least. It omits Job's part of the dialogue with God, but you know the story. From his misery, Job cries out to God, "Where are you?" And God, in some of the most beautiful poetry in all the scriptures, comes back with, "Where were you, Job? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth, when I shut in the sea with doors, when I set limits for it and fastened the bar of its door and said, 'Here shall your proud waves be stopped'? Where were you?" It might seem cruel for God to treat Job in this way, but what God was really doing was inviting Job to deeper faith. God's challenging questions to Job echo down through the ages, don't they? They find their way into our own agonizing struggles to believe, when all the evidence seems at times to suggest that God is either not there or that God does not care. Sooner or later in our lives, we have to come to terms with a God who is often more mystery than miracle. Sooner or later, we have to come to terms with the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of Job, the God of Jesus and Mary, the God of the storm-tossed disciples on the Sea of Galilee, the God who has a way of leading us in paths we would never choose for ourselves. Today's gospel story is one more instance of the way this God acts. The storm on the Sea of Galilee convinces the apostles of Jesus that all is lost, that they are about to drown. They are frightened for their lives. And where is Jesus through all this? Comfortably asleep in the back of the boat, on a cushion, no less. If you had to paint a picture of how distant and detached and unconcerned God can seem at times, could you improve on that picture Mark paints of Jesus fast asleep in the back of the boat, resting on a cushion? That is indeed the way God seems at times, isn't it? Job has plenty of company when he flings his near despairing cry at God, "Where are you?" Who doesn't know that question, that cry of near despair? Parents who have lost a child ask it, and so do children who have lost a parent. People who have lost everything in fire or flood, earthquake or hurricane ask it. African Americans ask it as they remember Juneteenth and how its promise has yet to be realized. Poor people ask it too, poor people who, as Pope Francis so powerfully reminds us, suffer more than anyone from the personal selfishness and corporate greed that devastate and degrade God's creation. "Don't you care?" are, at one time or another, everyone's question. But lest we think we are alone in experiencing God as absent or distant, fast asleep in the back of the boat, we will do well to be reminded of how God seemed to sleep on yet another night, the darkest of all nights, during another storm when darkness covered the whole earth. And Jesus cried out those agonizing words, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Those words from the lips of Jesus, no, from the very depths of the agonized soul of Jesus, those words make the reproachful cry of the 12 in today's gospel seem like mere child's play. "Teacher, doesn't it matter to you that we're going to drown?" pales alongside, my God, why have you abandoned me?" As always, Jesus leads the way. He asks nothing of us that he hasn't asked already of himself. After hearing his cry, how can we ever think that we are alone in our suffering? And it goes even further, my friends. We know how God ultimately answered the cry of Jesus. We know that life had the last word then, not death. And deep down, we believe that it always does. Dear friends, Christ lives. And because of that, we too shall live. In the midst of all the storms of our lives, in the midst of the great struggles and storms of our troubled world, of our sadly divided church and badly fractured nation, we still hold on to hope. Hope, our belief in the one who rebuked the wind and calmed the sea. With the awestruck disciples, we find ourselves saying, "Who is this whom even wind and sea obey?"